Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our study of select Psalms. We'll pick up in just a moment with Psalm 38. But before we go there, I want to make our listening audience aware, in case any of you are not, of not only the books that I have authored, but some articles that I have written that you might be interested in, and tell you how to access them. In my broadcast, some of you have noticed that you hear very little about financial support, and that's deliberate. We really trust God here on that score and firmly believe that God pays for what He orders. The same policy is true in my local church ministry. Other than the teaching we offer on these broadcasts, over the years I have done a good deal of writing, as time allows, to prepare resources that I think should be helpful to my congregation and also helpful to you, our listeners. But on this program, I don't say a lot about those resources, much as I don't say a lot about finances, and I guess that omission in terms of resources kind of defeats the purpose. So grab a pen and paper and get prepared to write down a website. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will find there information describing the books I have authored, one of them co-authored with my daughter. In fact, that book, The Finality of Jesus Christ, is not a long book, but it's a very important book, and if anybody will let the Scriptures answer their questions about whether there are many ways to God, this will be decisive. Another very important book I've written is Polishing God's Monuments, Pillars of Hope for Punishing Times. I've written a book on marriage. Should help a lot of people if both are serious about walking with God in their marriage. Marriage Without Remorse, Rules for the Road. And finally, one about the pastoral ministry would be good for elders and leaders, too. Dispatches from the Front Lines, Reflections on the Glory and Grind of Pastoral Ministry. On top of that, on the same website, you'll see a tab that says Articles. If you will open that with your cursor, you will discover there are some articles that I've produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. For example, one of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the Scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice. After all, that has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. Now, let's go to Psalm 38. Sometimes, friends, we are in deep stuff. Sometimes it's because others, enemies, whatever, are coming at us hot and heavy for whatever reason. Sometimes we've gotten ourselves in deep dew. The enemy will come along at times like that, and he will try to persuade us, now you've done it. That rips it. You can't go to God, can't show your face there. He's not going to receive you. He's not going to welcome you into His presence after the way you've messed up. I may be talking to some listeners. Well, David was a great man of God, but he was not immune to messing up, as we know. He didn't mess up much, but he did mess up We don't know the particular circumstance that David speaks about here in Psalm 38, but the superscription is a prayer of a suffering penitent, a psalm of David. David had a sensitive conscience. That was a good thing, and it was pretty well ripped up when he wrote this prayer, and you and I can take note. Sometimes in the Psalms of David, I take over those prayers, and not just there, but I take over and own them as my own. And maybe this would be a time for you to own them, and I'm telling you, God will receive it. David just feels, we would say, not very poetically, just kind of bummed out. He knows he's under the chastening hand of God. Now, let me stop right there and make a point. We're always under the chastening hand of God. That ought to be clear going in. This is a little extra special, but the point is, we have a Heavenly Father, and as we learn in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord chastens every child whom He receives. That's because we're in this flesh. That's because we've got all of these carnal edges. Though it's being renewed in Christ, we've been born again, we still don't have it all together. It's a growing process. And the flesh has a way of peeking out around the edges. And sometimes we can really stumble. So the Lord is always, through His Word, through the conviction of the conscience and the Holy Spirit, on top of all of that. Sometimes through circumstances, the Lord is rapping our knuckles. Sometimes it may be more serious than that. Sometimes He may have to introduce us to some failure. And the Lord may have to take us through the University of Hard Knocks. Not because we're rebellious and out of line, simply because we're human and the Lord puts us upon His anvil, so to speak. And through the Word and through the Spirit and through experience, He just hammers on us and He knocks out some of those crooks in our character. Well, there's something going on here with David, and apparently he's feeling the chastening hand of God. We don't know what it was, but it wasn't just in the ordinary rut of his human activity. Somewhere, some way, he knows and feels that he stepped out of line. Lord, he prays, rebuke me not in thy wrath, and chasten me in thy burning anger. In other words, he's asking the Lord to give him a little space, not because he deserves it. He's talking to God, who he knows is merciful. You could smoke me, I can't stand up to it. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand has pressed down upon me. Those are great metaphors, great figures for what sometimes we feel when the Lord is dealing with us about issues. Maybe we've gotten out of line there. We've not been a good husband. We've not been a good wife. We've not been a good parent. Maybe we haven't been a good employee. Maybe we've been unfaithful. Maybe we've been immoral. My goodness, just run down the line, a bad neighbor, whatever. The Spirit of God is on our case. And I don't know what it was here with David, but David says, thine arrows have sunk deep within me. Thy hand has pressed down upon me. He's doing the right thing. He's taking his issues to the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's starting to have psychosomatic effects. He says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sins. You know what goes on in the inside has a way of affecting the outside. So tightly are we integrated and put together by God. Our bodies wear down. Stress on our hearts, all kinds of things for all kinds of reasons, but sometimes it can be sin. The blood pressure goes up because of guilt, that kind of thing. David admits, for my iniquities have gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. Anybody listening to me feel that? Well, my friend, I'm telling you, you've got a merciful and gracious God. And the same door is open to you as was open to David. And what I want you to notice is his absolute honesty. We don't know what it was. We just know David, like ourselves, was an imperfect human being. Some of that we know from the narratives that we read. But there's much more to David's story that's not even recorded. We're sure of that. The man reigned for 40 years, and he made some missteps along the way. Sometimes, I'm sure, he suffered from kingly pride and power. It's hard to be a monarch with absolute power, as David had, and being human, to not kick the traces once in a while. Whatever it was, David did. Maybe that's something that you have done. But he understands the mercy of God. And what I want you to understand is, he's not temporizing. He's not saying, as we so often say, well, I've made some mistakes, my friend. Mistakes? Mistakes is when I go to my dresser drawer in the morning and the light's not good, and I want black socks, and I get a black one, and I get a navy blue one or a brown one. And then I get out in the clear light of day, and I see, oops, I made a mistake. Mistake is when I'm sitting here on my computer, I make a typo, or I leave out a word. That's a mistake. A mistake is when I'm going down the road, driving, and maybe not paying as close attention as I ought, and oops, there it was, I'm right under a caution light, I don't have time to stop, and just as I go under it, I see it turn red. That's a mistake. That was not intentional, I was not being a scofflaw. That's a mistake. David doesn't put things in that kind of self-serving category. When we come to God in times like these, we want to come to Him making full-throated confession. And boy, that's what we see here. Full-throated confession. That'll warm the heart of God, and that will stir up His mercy. And David knows that he's dealing with God on that basis. And he knows that whatever it is, he's been dealing with this, it's been festering, and he knows it's affecting his health. My wounds grow foul and they fester because of my folly. Sometimes it's good, as I point out, that he doesn't identify his folly, because that enables all of us to identify with whatever our folly is. David just knows it's been folly. He's not mincing words. I'm bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. It's really on him, for my loins are filled with burning, and there's no soundness in my flesh. It's really rough. I'm benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. It's not all necessarily because David, we just don't know, but it's not all necessarily because David has been hiding his sin. Perhaps so. He mentions that in another psalm. But it's not just that David has been hiding his sin. Perhaps, and oftentimes this is the case, sometimes he's so ashamed of it. We do things and we know this is shameful. We've not only embarrassed God's great name and dishonored it, but we've dishonored ourselves as well. And we're just deeply ashamed when we find that stuff in us. Lord, David says, oh, this is good. And God knows this when it's true. All my desire is before thee. My sighing is not hidden from thee. David says, look at my heart, because that God can see. And when we go to him in prayer and in repentance and confession, God knows the heart. And he will always mercifully and graciously answer a truly penitent heart. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. The light of my eyes, even that is gone from me. It's not just that he feels alienated from the Lord. Whatever this is, it's affected his social circles and his power circles. He says, my loved ones and my friends, they stand aloof from my plague, whatever that is, and my kinsmen stand afar off. When things begin to go bad with us, maybe under the discipline of God, and David talked about that, then sometimes, when we're not in the full flourish of prosperity, sometimes people tend to take a hike. We're not a winner anymore. We appear to be a loser. But he has his enemies. Those who seek my life lay snares for me. And those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. So David's conscience has been hammered, but not just his conscience, but his circumstances are being hammered. The stuff is coming at him from all directions. When people find a power figure and they find them vulnerable, they develop a certain bloodlust. They want to get at him and take him down. But David says, but I, like a deaf man, I don't hear. I'm like a dumb man. If somebody can't speak, I don't even open my mouth. Yes, I'm like a man who does not hear and whose mouth are no arguments. In other words, this is the spirit of meekness, not weakness. Meekness is when one just comes and says, look, the sovereign God in his providence, he's doing something here. He's chastening me here. I don't know what all's going on, but I know I'm a sinful man. I know I'm an undeserving person. I know I've got no complaints. I know God doesn't owe me anything. And I know that he chastens every son whom he receives. So I'm not going to make any arguments. I'm not going to issue any complaints. I'm going to put this in the hands of a merciful, gracious, and sovereign God. For I hope in thee, O Lord. I hope in thee. And then David expresses his confidence, his faith. Thou will answer, O Lord my God. That's meekness. I don't have to answer. You will answer. For I said, this was a prayer, I said, may they not rejoice over me. Lord, don't put me in that posture where I have to be doubly humiliated by my enemy standing over me and say, we got him. May they not rejoice over me, who when my foot slips, they would magnify themselves against me. David said, Lord, I'm ready to fall. My sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity. He calls it by its name. He didn't say mistakes. Oh, how much better off it would be when we went to the Lord if we just called it iniquity. And if our sin extended to somebody beside the Lord, and it usually does, somebody else go to them and confess our iniquity. I'm full of anxiety because of my sin. It always happens. That's the way sin works. It's disturbing. It disturbs our peace on the inside. And there are all kinds of psychosomatic symptoms, as we've seen, as well as social symptoms. But my enemies, they're vigorous and they're strong. I'm not underestimating them. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. And that's often the way it is. There are people who hate us wrongfully. We haven't done anything to them. They may think we have, but we know we haven't, and we have to leave that to the Lord. And those who repay evil for good, oh, they're the nastiest kind. They oppose me because I follow what is good. In other words, this may seem like a contradiction, but what David is saying is, that's my whole body of work, you know it. I follow what is good. But somewhere here his feet had slipped, and he begs the Lord not to forsake him. Oh, my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. And my friends, when anybody comes to the Lord in that spirit, with that kind of contrition, with that kind of honesty, I want to tell you, you're going to be heard. And God's not going to half forgive you. He's going to totally forgive you. And maybe that'll help somebody who's listening to this program. Well, I don't know whether Psalm 39 was written in conjunction with that, but it fits right in. In this context, David sees the vanity of life. I said, like he's picking a verse out of his journal, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I've just got to control that little contraption. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence, because they're always going to jump on it. I've got to be wise. I've got to be prudent with the tongue. So I was dumb and silent. I refrained even from good. It's hard to know exactly what David meant by that, but he meant, I'm going to muzzle myself, and I'm not going to say anything bad, and I'm not even going to say anything good. They'll find a way of distorting that. And my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. David, all of a sudden, in this situation, begins to grasp. Sometimes we've already grasped, but we have one of those aha moments. We call it a moment of clarity, an epiphany. And David says, you know what I need? Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Just let me know how transient I am. And boy, that is good, because we take ourselves too seriously. We take this life too seriously. This is a lesson we all need the Lord to teach us. Lord, make me know my end. Let me know what the extent of my days is. Just let me know. I think that'll help so much, how transient I am. And things that I make a big deal out of won't be such a big deal. Then all of a sudden he shows that he's getting it. Behold, you've made my days as handbreadth, and my lifetime is as nothing in thy sight. Oh, I get it, Lord. I ask for it. You're helping me see it. Surely every man, at his best, every person, I don't care who they are. I don't care what kind of star they are in life. I don't care how big and important they seem to be, what kind of prestige they carry around. Here's the deal. Every man at his best is a mere breath. Just breathe. That's all man is. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they, human beings, make an uproar for nothing. All the sweaty effort. For what? Man amasses riches, and he doesn't even know who will gather them. David gets it. Lord, help me to know my transience. And then the Spirit of God, of course, has given him that wisdom, and he understands. He understood it before, but now it hits him in a moment of clarity, and he begins to understand. We take ourselves much too seriously. We take this world much too seriously. We get all sweaty over things that we shouldn't get all sweaty over, because man at his best is a handbreadth. Surely every man who walks about is a phantom. People, pick up the newspaper, turn on the TV, look at it. Surely people are making an uproar for nothing, and people are going around. Turn on the business channel. They're amassing riches, and they don't even know who's going to gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? I think he means, for what am I waiting around for in this world? My hope is in thee. Oh, exactly where it ought to be. David takes the four legs of his life, and he sets his chair down there on the Lord. He just prays now that the Lord will deliver him from all of his transgressions, and make me not the reproach of the foolish who want to take him down. Again, he repeats, I've become dumb. Sometimes we're there. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Circumstances are just so overwhelming. We don't know how to answer in a good way. We don't want to say anything bad. Sometimes we just want to zip it up and just sit maybe and look at the wall. I've become dumb. I do not open my mouth. David says, I do it because, and I'm interpolating the thought here, you're the sovereign God, you're the sovereign creator. You've done it, what you haven't done directly, you have allowed. You've done it for your own good reasons. You've allowed all of this pain and all of these enemies. You've done it, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I just pray that you'll remove your plague from me. We can ask God for that. Don't know what form the plague took. We don't have to know, but it felt like a plague, whether it was a physical plague. More probably, it was just a figure of speech. It felt like a plague. Lots of times things happen to us that just feel like an absolute plague. Remove thy plague from me, because of the opposition of thy hand. I am perishing. I just feel like I'm going down. The ship is sinking. With reproofs, thou dost chasten a man for iniquity. God always does that. Sometimes God punishes sins, lots of times with more sin. The whips of sin are its effects. David understands that. With reproofs, thou dost chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to man. Then he comes back to that perspective again, where he just understands in a breathtaking way the vanity of human life, the transience of man upon this planet. If this is all there is, it's a pretty miserable place. And yet that's where a lot of people are. They don't believe in God. He who doesn't believe in God is a fool. There is no meaning. There is no significance to life without God. This life here is a comedy of the absurd. It just means that every man's a handbreadth, and it means that every man is a mere breath. And there's no profit in what we do. Lord, help me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. We start out in life, we're young, and it looks so long out there, forever. But those of us who've lived a little longer realize how fast that time passed. Behold, you made my days as handbreadths. My lifetime is nothing in thy sight. Surely a man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches, and he does not know who will gather them. That's the way it is in this life under the sun. If there's no hereafter, that's what you've got. Every man is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee. I feel like a sojourner, like all of my fathers. I feel under heat of thy chastening. Turn thy gaze away from me. Let me smile again, Lord. You feel like that? Just let me smile again before I depart, and I am no more. Well, thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.